Marty Lurie here, John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle, Hall of Fame weekend. John Shea,
he's forever linked with Bruce Bochy. I think they both made each other. One guy made the other a wonderful manager because his longevity in San Diego was extreme. And the other guy counted on him day after day to save games. The unforgettable 1996 when Hoffman saved the final three games of the season against the Dodgers. You know, unbelievable changeup. If he went in, I think Lee Smith should have gone in. And I voted for Lee Smith forever. He didn't get in, and that's a shame.
Vladimir Guerrero.
I knew when I saw him he was a Hall of Famer. Mid-career. I love the guy. Five-tool talent. He would go out of the zone and hit balls more than anyone this side of Ichiro. He was fabulous. You couldn't take your eye off him. It was sad later in his career when he couldn't bend over in right field with the Angels, as the Giants fans saw in the postseason. But what a wonderful talent, and it's too bad he had to wait for a second ballot to get in. He missed by one or two votes, and that was uncalled for.
John Shea, the Chronicle, talks about the Hall of Famers. All right, how about Jim Thome?
Jim Thome played in the steroid era, hit more home runs than most anyone else in the steroid era, except for who? A-Rod, Barry Bonds. That 600-plus, never any hint or accusation or link to performance-enhancing drugs. And that took some doing. Apparently a great guy by all accounts. First ballot. He played with, what, six teams? Benefited all of them. But he just kept hitting them and hitting them, and age wasn't a factor. So good for him.
Chipper Jones.
One of the best switch hitters of all time. Mickey Mantle, Eddie Murray, our own Chili Davis. And now this guy who plays his entire career with one team, and through the ups and downs, and we saw him as a kid back in the early 90s in that big pennant race in 93, and then he just evolved into the fixture at third base. And there are very few third basemen, what, 17, 18 now, kind of a undermanned, disrespected position is in terms of the Hall of Fame. But a stand-up guy, somebody always the pitchers relied on to be a 3-4-5 hitter, to be a defensive whiz at third base, and the fact that he could go deep right-handed or left-handed. He missed 500 home runs, but a no-doubt Hall of Famer.
John Shea with us. I love talking about the Hall of Famers. John, Alan Trammell.
I love shortstops. I always vote for shortstops who are borderline because they do so much work. They do more than anybody except for the pitcher and catcher. They're the leaders on the field, the captain, the people who the position, the second baseman and the outfielders. And this guy had longevity all with one team. He and Lou Whitaker played together as a double play tandem more than anybody in the game's history. And Lou Whitaker didn't get much love, but finally, Trammell is getting his due. And Bruce Bochy going to the Hall of Fame to see not only Hoffman, but Trammell, who has San Diego roots.
Jack Morris.
10 innings, Minnesota, Atlanta, 1-0. Morris versus Smoltz, that was must-see TV. It was fabulous stuff. Game 7 of a World Series. 3.90 ERA, however, the highest ERA in the Hall of Fame. So that's why it took him a long time to get in. He finally got in, a postseason star by in all regards. I mean, he and Schilling might have better postseason numbers overall. But Morris, from that team, and he played with some really good teams, a lot of stardom in the postseason, but you can never forget that 10-inning pitcher's duel in Game 7, and that's what he'll always be known for.
Bob Costas.
Wow. You know what? He's worshipped by pretty much everybody in the sport for his knowledge, enthusiasm, ability to just pull something out of the nowhere, like you in Orlando, right? Names out of a hat that nobody's ever heard of. He's got, you know, you heard him early in his career, basketball, but I think baseball was always his first love, you know, as it was for Bill King, who went in before Bob Costas to get this award. But, you know, well-deserved. I think, you know, he'll always be known as a baseball guy. So, you know, good for Bob Costas.
Sheldon Acker.
So I always, you know, for the Spink Award, which goes to a writer every year, and these guys aren't enshrined. They're not inducted. They get an award. So there's kind of a falsity about what these guys actually receive. And the writers and broadcasters, they're Hall of Fame writers, Hall of Fame broadcasters, but they're not inducted. That's a separate ceremony. In fact, the induction is Sunday, and I believe the writers and broadcasters are Saturday when they receive their awards. But I'm all for anybody who goes through the grind of 162. I love that this award goes to beat writers a la Nick Peters, who didn't want to become a national guy, didn't want to become a columnist, didn't want to do football, didn't want to do anything except cover the team day in and day out. And I think that's what this award is for, and I think he did it as well as anybody.
Kurt Smith wants to expand the broadcasting award to include pregame radio hosts. Marty Lurie.
First ballot Hall of Fame. Lock it.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Marty.